Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I'm Simon Cardy, and I'm going to catch Dale Driver mid-sip.
That's all right.
He got the gulp down.
I just told you before we started that rhythm is in my blood, mate.
The rhythm of the sip.
What rhythm in your sips?
I will always hit the times where I need to hit my cues.
Okay, I'm going to try and catch you off one day. Jesse, have you got rhythm in your blood?
Maybe. Spanish rhythm. Don't. Maybe.
You got a rhythm games?
I am actually.
Hero. Yeah, good to know. Good to know. I saw Blink-182 last night. That's why my voice may seem a little bit dry.
How were they?
They were excellent. It's the best I've seen them actually. Yeah, they've got a new lease of life, I think. So that was fantastic.
What was the big encore songs?
So they always end with "Damn It." Which is, you know, okay. a banger. They have the end trio of, what was it? It is, I can't remember what the third to last one was now, but it's all the small things into Damn It.
Right, I thought all the small things would be, yeah.
The encore was, they don't normally, when I was saying before, they haven't really done many encores, but they did come back and do their new, one of their new single, which is like a slower acoustic one, which
don't
is
do
like
that. Kind of, I hate that.
I know what you mean. I like shows ending with a bang rather than an acoustic one.
But as I was like, you might not know this one. I was like, well then don't fucking play it then.
But everyone would know. Like if you're, it's a sentimental new one about how they're all back together and living again. But you know, it was really good. But yeah, my voice sounds okay, doesn't it? But I was doing the whole like, wah. You have to, don't you? What did you do last night?
It doesn't feel like we're on the podcast, does it? It just feels like we're just chatting. I held my baby while sleeping and played Mortal Kombat for a bit. I also watched the final episode of the Beckham documentary as well.
It's good, isn't it? It's quite good.
It's good, yeah. There's not much to say about it.
That last part I wasn't as keen on for bits, because I was just like, oh yeah, this is where the whole, you're trying to sell your whole Inter Miami thing a little bit comes into it.
But The only thing I did think was, one, it was very distracting that Fisher Stevenson's was like the director.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I kept hearing his voice and I was like, I kept saying to my wife, he's in Lost, he's in Succession. And stuff was like,
I did
why?
Think he was putting himself in it a bit too. Yeah, I don't like when documentary makers do, unless you're on camera like doing the interviews, I get that. Yeah. But when you're just constantly chipping in, it's like, you don't need yourself in this much.
Sometimes that makes sense, but yeah, it definitely felt like even when he was like talking to like Simeone and like Figo and stuff, he's just like chipping in with lines all the time, and I was like, oh come on, just like stay out of it. And then I thought, because obviously it's Beckham's like company that's like heavily produced it, I guess, or something involved with it, they very much skipped over the Rebecca Luce sort of.
They had a bit about the affair. They didn't completely shy away from it, which is good. But yeah, they didn't properly delve.
Wife said, "Is like he's not actually denying this." And I was like, "Yeah," because they denied it when it happened, obviously. But
yeah,
they don't even mention it anyway. Like overall, it was nice retrospective of, especially the 90s and the early 2000s, which I'd forgotten a lot about. I remembered like the effigy stuff after the World Cup, but I didn't remember how bad it was.
No. They do play. I mean, you know, Glenn Hoddle didn't approach that right, but I feel they were a little bit, they didn't let him speak, or like, he did actually come out like a little bit after and say, yeah, this was a mistake. Or they fully like make Glenn Hoddle, who is a Tottenham hero, despite being a weird
what did
guy
he
at times,
say about the disabled people again?
Yeah,
Simon?
Yeah, I said despite at times not being yeah, they did kind of put, like, paint him as the devil manager from hell. I don't know, but anyway,
yeah. That's good. Football, if you're into it? If you're into football and general like UK pop culture from the 90s, it's worth a watch.
Exactly. If you're into, I mean, who doesn't, you know David Beckham? Mm-hmm. You know, good player. Some would say.
Met him at Nando's once.
You met him at Nando's.
Yeah, Notting Hill.
What? No, you never mentioned you met David Beckham.
I feel like I must have mentioned it in a previous podcast.
Tell us the
maybe.
Details. Explain the situation.
Well, it was just me and Mum wanted to get some Nando's passing Notting Hill, and he was there with one of his kids, I think. Okay. And no one was really bothering him, but my mum really wanted to get a picture of David Beckham.
So she went over and bothered him and got a picture?
Yeah, she did.
He seems like he'd be nice enough.
He seemed very polite. But
how hot did he have his Nando's?
Yeah, what did he have? Do you have the wings?
I can't
the
really.
The thighs are the best option.
My 10-year-old mind can't really think that far back to those specific details.
He feels like he's a hot guy to me.
He is.
He's smoking, but like in terms of level of spice in
really?
Nando's, like he strikes me as a hot man.
Nah.
I don't know. Like, if you watch the documentary, there's a whole bit at the end of the last episode where he's talking about
Nando's.
No, he's talking about cooking, and he loves cooking and all this stuff. He strikes me as a guy who's, you know, he's got the taste for
like,
the
when
heat.
You were like 10 as well, that would have been like during his LA gap. He would have still been like, what, early 30? He would have still been in good playing condition, you know? It wasn't like...
What, is he a complete wreck now or something that makes him sound...
No, but you know, he's like 48. Like, he's not playing professional football anymore, is he?
Fair enough.
But yeah, you've met David. I'd love to meet David.
I know, right?
It's not like I spoke to him.
Why is he just in I can't imagine him being in a Nando's.
Yeah, I mean,
I know. It's a normal Nando's in London.
Are you
as
sure
well?
It was David Beckham? Not just some guy with a bald,
I'm
like,
shaved
head. I'm
absolutely certain it was David Beckham.
He was a guy who had a mohawk and an England shirt on, and it's like, it's David Beckham.
Oh, David.
Jeez.
That's amazing. There we go. Where are we going from here?
I don't know. Should we talk about video games?
Yeah, we could do, I suppose. Mario Wonder. Super Mario Brothers Wonder, TV's full
yes.
title.
Yeah.
Out very soon, but you've had a little sneak peek play of it, Dave. You've written a preview on IGN.com. What do you think of it?
I did, and do you know what? It's bloody lovely, it is.
Oh, is it? Oh, Mario is a lovely little guy.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what, though? Like, you say that, but he is extra, extra adorable in this one. Like, the one of the first things I know. So if you don't know, Mario Wonder's like, you know, in the vein of the traditional 2D Mario side-scrolling games. But, you know, the charm and I'm going to have to say it, the wonder is definitely, ooh, like, turned up in this one. One of the first things that strike me is just like, how beautiful it looks all the way through, and there's so much like detail in the animation at all times. I say it in my preview, but there's little things like when Mario goes into a warp pipe, you see him like sometimes if he's in the elephant form, especially like he's trying to squeeze in the pipe, and you see his little legs kick in, and his hat falls behind, he reaches out, grabs his hat, pulls it back in. There's all these like tiny little like emotive details in all these characters. There's these flowers that just live in these levels that always talk to you when you walk past, and they've got a variety of dialogue and different things I'll say depending on the actions. Like, for example, there's in the very first level, there's a sleeping Goomba who has like snot bubbles coming out of his nose, and the little flower will say something along the lines of, look how peaceful it is. But if you boot the Goomba as the elephant before, he just goes, oh, okay then. And just sort of and then there's one bit when he questions what a Goomba tastes like as well after you eat a Goomba. Yeah. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's just, they've really ramped up the charm and the whimsy, I feel like. They're like, it's so colourful, so vibrant, and just a really, really fun place to be.
What is the, like, and I know like Mario games aren't necessarily there for their story, but what is like the setup for this one? Like, are you transported to this kingdom? Is it this typical stuff of Peach is missing?
I didn't have opening cutscenes, but from what I remember in the trailers, it's something to do with Bowser shows up and he steals something. And then there's a guy called Prince Florian, who's like a little like caterpillar man, I guess. And he's tasked you to go and get the wonder seeds and the wonder flowers. And that's the main new gameplay mechanic. Well, one of the new ones from previous games.
Are there any wonder walls?
No, I'm afraid. No, sorry.
Missed chance,
but when you collect, so each level has, well, from what I've seen so far, levels have two wonder seeds to collect, which operate like moons or stars in the 3D games. However, when you collect the wonder flower at the start to initiate the press against the seed, it will always alter something about the level. Sometimes it can alter like how the level is constructed. Sometimes herds of like balls can rush through and completely destroy the level. Sometimes you're inflated into a big balloon that can fly up in the air. Sometimes there's a rain of stars. There's all sorts of crazy things.
Can you score a last minute 30 yard free kick against Greece at Old Trafford in 2001?
What? Though? Yeah. It's really good. I'm really happy that you were listening to me there.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to wonder seeds. So yeah, there's also like hidden elements as well. The thing I really noticed about this game, for me anyway, it definitely feels like it's taken a lot more inspiration from its 3D relatives than perhaps the traditional 2D games, which are very much obviously, you know, move from left to right, hit blocks along the way and reach the end. Whereas this one feels like there's a lot more incentive on returning to levels, trying new tricks, trying new tips. This multiplayer as well. So a little example is a second player can play as Yoshi and someone can play as Mario, Luigi, whoever. You can jump on your friend's back and then you can do a double jump off the back of Yoshi. And so there's lots of avenues and lots of different techniques to try and reach new areas and secret areas. So there's a lot of incentive to revisit levels to collect the objects, which is the seeds in this case. Normally it's the moons or the
stars. It's not like Metroidvania, right? You don't have to go back to unlock, so, like, you can just...
So I don't know, I've not played enough of it to know, like, but I think it's you need a certain amount of seeds to unlock new levels. So it might be a case of, oh, I want to unlock this new level, I haven't got enough seeds, maybe I need to revisit a few levels to collect a few more.
Oh, it's a bit like Odyssey then, we need to collect a certain amount of moons to move on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I'm sure we'll get onto it, but I just feel Odyssey came out in 2017 and I feel like really, really starved of like 3D Mario right now. Mm-hmm. And this feels like perhaps not all, it's not all the way there, but it feels like, you know, something that will satiate me in the short
term. Nice little starter.
Yeah. I was going to say palate cleanser, but it didn't really work. So yeah. But it definitely feels like it's bridging the gap to the next 3D Mario game. So I'm really excited to play more when it comes out next week.
Nice. What is your favorite? Like, what is your go-to starter or restaurant if you see it on the menu?
Calamari.
Like, exactly. Calamari is mine. Like, I'm not always a starter person really at all. But if I see calamari there, I'm like, oh, I've got to get the calamari. I think
calamari is like, yes, go-to every time. That just insane levels of salt in the thing.
You are go-to. What's your Nando's star? What Nando's star was David Beckham having?
Who gets a starter at Nando's?
I don't know. David Beckham probably can afford it.
Yeah, he can afford it. Yeah. I don't think I've ever got a starter at Nando's.
No, I don't think I ever have. Do they do? They do.
They must. They do like little bowls of nuts and
corn on the
olives.
There you go.
Corn on the cob is a side that comes with the meal.
Could you have it as a starter?
I don't fuck around with Nando's, so
I'm
Nando. Not the lore expert when it comes to that.
They do like little dishes of olives, I think, that constitute a starter, I guess. But
yeah, maybe. Probably like little like dips, maybe. Some like bread dips. Halloumi, is that a starter? Is
halloumi, you get bolted on the side, don't you? You always get a little slice of halloumi on the side.
That makes it sound
so like,
grim,
what's Mario Wonder? Is that like, so are you saying, are we saying the Mario Wonder's kind of like the calamari
it's
of
It's the calamari
stars?
Of
like,
Mario
it's a great
games.
Star. Yeah, I think like that might be what we're saying here.
Right, I'm just going to go back, edit my preview, and make sure that strap line is right.
Yeah, the calamari of Mario games. Like we talked about 3D Mario there, like, there's got to be one coming soon, like the Switch 2 or whatever the next Nintendo console is. Yeah. It's got to, like, there's rumors. Yeah. Like, it's got to be in the next year, right? It's got
to
be coming.
It's mad to me that Breath of the Wild came out the same year as Odyssey, yet we've had DLC and a sequel for that game. But Mario, 3D Mario is like nothing. We got that one Luigi balloon DLC thingy, whatever that was.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Literally Radio Silence. And it's been 6 years, man.
I mean, there was the Bowser's Fury like add-on, but
it's not a full Mario game,
right? That was good, actually, thinking about it. But like, yeah, yes, that's fair. But it definitely feels like Nintendo are cooking. It feels like they have one ready to go.
Do we think it'll be like Odyssey 2 seems like, if they wanted to take the easy path, and they traditionally have done sequels like Galaxy 2 to some of the games, like they could do Odyssey, like that formula would work again, just with new worlds.
I think, but, and this is with no insight, I think it largely depends on what the next console is. Yeah. If it is what is potentially rumoured of just like a technical upgrade and still the same fundamentals as Switch, Odyssey 2 makes all the sense in the world, I feel.
Yes, please.
But if it's a new type of console, like when they went to the Wii, not the Wii U, but, you know, like it's completely change how the console operates, then the Mario game might be the one to showcase that style.
What about like a globe-trotting adventure where like Mario's got like a little mohawk and he can like kick golden balls at like Goombas?
And he goes to Nando's and has calamari. Yeah,
yeah. What we want is Super Mario Beckham is what we want.
I don't know what I'd want from a new Mario game. I mean, what I guess the exciting thing about Mario is Nintendo kind of always surprises you.
Yeah, you never know what you want until you play it, right?
Yeah. But what I know for a fact, I wouldn't want an open world Mario. I think Nintendo are at their best when they're very overly designed, not overly designed, perfectly designed
Mario
levels.
Anyway. I mean, like Zelda's proven the open world can work.
But yes, but Zelda never felt like it was a level structure to begin with, exactly. Whereas Mario very much feels like, okay, one kingdom, one isolated area, but this thing is just designed like to the nth degree, and you know there's secrets to be found and you can constantly revisit it. Honestly, at this point I feel like I'd be happy with just a kingdom or two for Mario Odyssey. Just literally just release a couple more kingdoms, just anything. Something yeah, just anything. Yeah,
I feel like this game doesn't get enough respect. Mario 64 on the DS. Because that game's entirely different.
On the DS.
Yeah, because it's entirely different to Mario 64, where you start as Yoshi and like you have to then find Mario, Luigi, and Wario, and they all have like different powers and abilities and they play differently. So you might want to revisit a level as Wario so you can like smash through a wall that Mario or Luigi couldn't. Like, I want more elements like that. I guess it's almost like, I don't know, Metroidvania-esque, not like hardcore style, but different reasons to revisit levels as different Mario characters. Yeah. I feel like, at least with Wonder, it seems like, you know, you have the usual cast of characters you can play as, but they don't seem to be different in any way.
So Yoshi and Nibbit, I believe his name is, play differently. As in, the only way they play differently is that they're like a baby mode. So you can't die by getting hit. You can die by falling, but you can't die by getting hit. Whereas everyone else plays exactly the same. And I did write a line in my preview how I think that is a missed opportunity for more variety in the levels. I need to revisit this level as Peach because she's got a bigger jump and I can get up to this area and see what's
going on.
But I also understand, you know, these games are largely targeted to children and it's about multiplayer fun, and it kind of maybe would break it a little bit if everyone played it differently.
Yeah, I guess so.
Perhaps. Yeah. But yeah.
Just make Mario for grown-ups.
That's what we need. Gritty Mario. Is that what you say?
GTA Mushroom King.
Mario 2077. Is that what you're
I'd love, do you know what I'd love? Mario at the movies, where like each level, like an Odyssey, where each level's like going through a different decade of cinema. That would be amazing. Like you have like the Golden Age of Hollywood, then like Westerns, then like that the Hitchcock one.
It sounds cool. Sounds like a licensing nightmare, but parody is legal, I guess.
Exactly. So that means you could do. Oh, I haven't formally announced this yet. Big news! I did my annual SIMDB update. The big update.
Alert the media.
If people don't know, that's my top 250 film list that I update every year. New number one, which would be perfect for a Mario level.
Is it the Super Mario Bros. Movie?
No,
that's
no,
what
no,
I thought you were leading up to.
This is the big reveal. New number one, because I recently watched it and I thought, do you know what? This is the best. Apocalypse Now.
Oh.
Mario's already done like a Vietnam game.
He
right?
did, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So if we 3D version of that.
I really Mario, thought you were lying.
Imagine when... Apocalypse Now, the journey.
I did like, go on.
Of Apocalypse Now through just the horror of it all as Mario.
There was
a morning
meeting the other day when I said, so Mario's already been in Vietnam, and Jesse thought I was just making a joke and I sent him a link to it and I was like, no, he was
Mario's
actually in a Vietnam
bombs
game.
Away. which is just fucking insane.
Super Mario Apocalypse, that's what I want.
Ooh, I like the title. It doesn't sound very extremely child friendly, but do you know what? I would like to see a new 3D Mario game that has true multiplayer elements of it.
Mm.
So we've got the 2D ones that all have, you know, you can play as multiple characters, four of you together. Yeah. That's never, I don't think that's happened in a 3D game. I can't recall it if it has. All the 3D games are largely, apart from the DS version of 64, like you mentioned, are usually you play as Mario exclusively. So it would be interesting to see what they could come up with.
That would be cool, actually, just multiplayer in a Mario Odyssey setting. And if they're, you know, if the Switch 2 is going to be a bit more beefier, then hopefully you can handle two Marios on screen. Hopefully.
Well, the thing with Odyssey was the cap switching, right?
That was sort of naff to play through in like a co-op setting.
That co-op is not co-op, is it?
Exactly. I'm not saying like, Mario Odyssey is shit.
I thought you were saying the cap stuff is bad, and I was like, "What?"
No.
But what you're saying is the idea of the second player being the cap.
It feels like, you know, you're sort of giving a disconnected controller to a kid and just be like, "Here you go, you're playing too."
I mean, it's basically what it is.
Yeah,
right? It's a way to play with children. But the cap system in general was just like the revolution for that game. So I'd be very excited to see them coming up with some new way of playing like that.
Maybe his shoes this time he changes instead of the cap. And what he does is he puts on some Adidas Predators and he goes, I'm going to stop talking about
David Beckham. He curls up a bomb.
Oh, dear.
This is just Mario Strikers, isn't it?
That's sort of gritty Mario.
That was sadly the new one. Maybe she put Beckham in it. Do you remember? I just remembered the Smoky Beckham crisps.
Oh, they were good.
When Walker... Was that for 98?
They did it for like, there was like multiple years where they did this stuff. So there was the Salt and Linekers, there was Cheese and Owens.
Cheese and Owen.
And Smokey Beckham's. Yeah.
Was that the only three? Grim. Was there more?
It was just a Walker's promotion where they'd rename the flavours of their crisps.
I can imagine. I don't think they were trying to replicate the taste of the...
It wasn't trying to taste the taste of David Beckham.
No matter how much people would have enjoyed that.
Just tastes a lot like Brill Cream.
I think those were the only three.
Yeah, we need more of them.
Yeah.
Do we?
Do need more of them. Yeah. Like, what modern...
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Day ones would there be?
What other flavours of crisps are there first? And then you work backwards from there.
Jesus,
do you have to do the crisp before the play?
We can't repeat the crisp, and I feel like you need the crisp first, and then you work the pun back.
So, like, yeah, ready. So there was never a ready salted one, was there?
Ready,
like,
Jake Clapp salt.
Why are we going to? It's just got to be England internationals.
He's English.
There's got to be a prawn cocktail one, right? I don't know. This is.
This sounds like an endless search game that someone will come up with.
Maybe let's have a think about it and come back to that.
While
someone else is talking, I'm going to be furiously Googling.
Yeah, me too. It's my turn to speak now. I'm not going to have time to think of any. Yeah. There must be a good footballer new Walkers combo, and it's going to do my head in.
We need to work out how to get Jude Bellingham onto a packet of crisps.
Exactly, so but there's just like there's just not.
Let's move
on. Not one. Yeah, we could do, but I'm stuck in this.
You're going to rack your brain. Just don't.
I mean, we have got Kyle Walker. It should be Kyle Walkers. Is that too easy?
Doesn't really work, does it?
No.
Got to change the word.
Yeah, you do. All right. Okay. Let's move on. I thought we did this last year. I'm just going to do it this year. But anyone can chip in if they've got one off the cuff they want to mention. It's almost Halloween time. It is indeed Friday the 13th today, which means spooky times are here for a couple of weeks. but it is, people like watching horror films around this time of year, don't they, Jesse?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
I wasn't expecting you to throw that to me.
Yeah, well, you got to be on your ball, on the ball, on the, I don't know, in this game.
On my balls, what's going on?
I am this all over the place.
Fuck.
It's got a very, like, drunk podcast energy, hasn't it?
Yeah. It does feel like one of those ones we used to do after a night out in the office, and it would be... Well, not after, you know, the morning after a night. We wouldn't go out for a night and then go back and record. Anyway,
Jesus.
Horror films. people have probably seen a load of them, but I just thought, you know, I've got three recommendations here for ones that are slightly under the radar. I'm not saying they're most obscure films in the world, but, you know, if you're looking for some new horror films to watch this October, why not check these out? Let me know if you guys have seen any of these three. We can talk about them. Okay. Did anyone see Bodies, Bodies, Bodies?
I did watch that. Yeah.
Really good, I thought. If you don't know what Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is, it's kind of a group of, like, well, they kind of young 20-year-olds, like, have a party at a, like, a family home. They're all, like, quite rich kids, like American rich kids, and they play a party game called Bodies, 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 where basically it turns deadly and it looks at, you know, that party going wrong, that game going wrong, people turn up dead. It's a comedy horror. It's like very much in like sort of the vein, like the vibe of the last like couple of Scream films, I think, where it's kind of knowingly like having fun. It's just, I mean, it's not a scary horror film. It's more funny than it is scary, but it's really good fun. It's an A24 film. Stars, stars Maria Bakalova from Borat 2.
Oh, yeah.
She's great in it. Rachel Senna, if you've seen Bombs or anything she's done, she's very funny. She's in it. Pete Davidson also very good in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, you know, not to spoil anything, just has a really good ending.
I think
it lands it very well.
I was just thinking
about
that.
That's a hard thing to do in horror, I think.
The ending is so hard to not, like, I don't want to say anything that's.
It's a great punchline.
Yeah, it's like. It basically works as a whodunit all the way through it, but the what happens at the end just sort of illustrates the type of people you're dealing with. So it's really hard to. It's a really good ending. I agree.
Like an hour and 20 minutes.
I wasn't sure about it for the first half an hour because I didn't really get a sense of what film it was. Like the dynamics were a bit peculiar to me, but then it really settles into a groove. I think about halfway into it, yeah, it was good film.
Yeah, so that's kind of, we've got like three different sort of vibes here of horror. So that's my sort of like the fun one. Next, has anyone seen The Mist?
No, I haven't seen The Mist.
It's from 2007. It's directed by Frank Darabont, who did Shawshank and The Green Mile. It's based on another Stephen King short story.
Isn't that incredibly depressing?
Well, maybe at points. It's kind of the premise for The Mist is a small town like America, just sort of like freak mist like storm rolls into town one day and like people run away from it. They're running out of it screaming. No one really knows what's happening inside this mist. So then a small group of people have to hole up in a supermarket and try and like survive in there and like wait for the mist to pass, or do they try and escape the mist? They don't really know what's going on in this mist. Slowly it starts revealing itself of what's going on. And it's kind of like a good blend of like traditional, like a couple of jump scares, some like body horror stuff, but also some really like creepy, more like social religious horror stuff of like people turning on each other, sort of like end of day stuff. Like Marcia Gay Harden plays this like incredibly scary, like Bible worshiper woman in this film. And it's just like, you just don't want to mess with her. it has an all-timer ending to a film, and you said it's depressing. It is like that spoiler anyway, one of possibly the bleakest ending to a film you ever see. It's so good.
Can't wait to watch that.
I love it. Like it is, again, lands the ending so well. I really like, it's not critically like adored, this film, but I really, really like it. If you've never seen The Mist, I'd give it a go. I think people sometimes confuse it with The Happening. It's not The Happening.
Is that the one with Wahlberg in it?
Yeah, do not watch The Happening.
I remember watching The Mist. That was awful.
Of course you've watched The Happening.
Yeah.
I don't know how old I would have been when I watched it. That was a dog
and
shit.
Don't confuse it with The Fog, although The Fog is good as well. But yeah, The Mist. Give The Mist a go if you're looking for something that will leave you kind of empty at the end of it. My third one. Has anyone seen Thirst?
Thirst?
No.
It's Park Chan-wook's vampire film, and I am a big Park Chan-wook boy. I love him to death. And so this is not like, you know, a jump scare, like terrifying horror. It's kind of like a gothic horror in tone, because, you know, it's got all the traditional like vampire genre stuff going on. It stars Song Kang-ho, who was the dad from Parasite.
Oh, okay, cool.
And he's amazing in it. It's from 2009, so it's like, what, 10 years before Parasite? was it 2009, around then. So the basic premise is he's a priest who's like really committed to the church, like really just good man on the surface. And he one day, his job is normally he volunteers at a hospital and helps with sick people. And he agrees one day to take part in this medical experiment because there's this like illness, there's this disease that's going around that's really affecting people. And like they're like, we need people to test the cure on. So he agrees because he's a good man. But that experiment fails. He becomes infected and seemingly dies, only for inexplicably to make a full recovery after a blood transfusion. And that's kind of, I haven't spoiled much there. That all happens in about the first 10 to 15 minutes of this film. And it's all about the downward spiral from then of how you can lose all your morals and how the thirst of it all can come a bit too much. It's a little bit raunchy at times. Oh. But it's fantastic. I love it. And the same, like, as all Park Chan-wook films, just incredibly beautifully shot, has like horror and it has a bit of comedy at times. It is lighthearted, but also a load of sadness because it's a Park Chan-wook film. But there's a great, like, one of my favorite scenes is there's like this woman who can't speak, so she can only communicate through blinking, and it's like a really tense like 5 to 10 minutes of just like work, like people slowly working out what's happening in this room. And again, another like all-timer ending to a film, I think. Yeah. If he knows how to end a, he knows how to end a film. If you've seen, I don't know, The Handmaiden, Old Boy, Decision to Leave Anything, you know, he knows how to end a film. But yeah, check out First. That's the First is easily the best of those three films. The other two are kind of a bit more fun.
Those all sound pretty good, to be fair. Because I just remembered because I sort of forgot that I watched The Nun 2 last night. Entirely forgettable.
So I like the Conjuring films, but I've never watched any of the spin-off ones, like Annabelle, The Nun.
I recall like the Conjuring 1 and 2 being sort of like pretty good,
at least okay.
Like horror films and stuff. And then me and partner, we watched The Nun earlier this year, and it was just it's complete shite. And the whole all of these films now feel like they're setting up like an MCU equivalent.
They're in the same universe.
even within The Nun 2, like the nun herself is almost like a Thanos level threat to Christianity, and they're looking for specifically in this film rather a pair of eyeballs, which essentially like the Infinity Stones and stuff. It's so ridiculous.
I heard The Nun 2 was better than The Nun 1. Is that correct?
I feel like I enjoyed The Nun 1 a little bit more than The Nun 2. I feel like it had some, at least had better scares, but I find it just all really ridiculous at this point. Especially, I watched The Pope's Exorcist this year as well. And despite,
I hope that's quite stupid fun.
Yeah, that is really, really, it's worse than The Nun 2, but better because it has Russell Crowe doing like an awful Italian accent.
And like riding around on scooters, exercising people. He's just riding around
like Italy in his little Vespa and stuff. It's amazing. And they've already got that. They already announced a sequel for that before the film had even come out, I think. So we're going to be seeing, I'm so happy to see, I don't know, Russell Crowe just do a bunch of awful horror films for the next 10 years.
I don't think he's going to do loads of them for 10 years. I just try me as that sort of guy.
Well, he was going to join that dark universe that never got started.
Yeah.
Was there only one film from that dark universe?
It was just The Mummy, and then, they can do all.
Wasn't there one they were retrofitting?
Is it?
Was it The Wolfman they were going to retrofit? Was it?
Right. I think it's been a bit of a dodgy time for horror, especially because I wasn't excited for the new Exorcist, because I just find it mad that they spent $400 million on The Exorcist to acquire the rights, and then it just bombed.
Some things should be like,
I did. I do think it's a pretty good time for horror, though, to be fair. Mostly on streaming platforms, I think, and not necessarily in cinema releases.
I can't wait to start The Fall of the House of Usher.
Yes. Is that out now?
I'm going to do that. It's out today. Or yesterday it was out, I think.
Okay.
I also watched No One Will Save, is it No One Will Save You or No One's Going to Save You?
Matt recommended, I need to watch that.
I enjoyed it. It's good. And it's like, it's a really interesting presentation, the fact that there's barely five words in the whole film, like it's all pretty much,
is that the sort of like alien abduction film?
Yeah, but it's pretty much most of it's non-verbal, like all the way through the film. So, and it's got some interesting ideas towards the end as well, but there's been a few of those, like that have just popped up on, you know, Netflix or Disney or whatever, that have been quite good. I just want to do a big sort of tangent here. Just spin off of that. And I say, I've got three crisps names for football.
Oh, wow, I was actually thought of it.
Okay.
I went through a list of, so they're all rare flavors, by the way. There was a flavor that's English roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. We can call that Grealish roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. There you go. There's your one. What was the second one I had? I have to type it into the search again so I can remember. Oh, yeah. Sizzling steak fajita. Sterling steak fajita.
Okay. Yeah,
have that. Have that one.
Cheers. And
the last one. There is a Birmingham chicken balti. So we could go Bellingham chicken balti. Or there's ham and mustard, so we could have Bellingham and mustard, which is probably the most, the closest to being realistic.
Birmingham chicken what?
What about, like, instead of pickle or Branston pickle, right? You could have Branston Pickford.
Oh, that's good as well. There you go. We've got loads of these. What Birmingham chicken balti is a flavour of Walker's crisps.
What's a balti, though?
It's curry.
Oh, I've just not heard of it before.
You've not heard of what?
Your girlfriend is Indian.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of different regions in India. Know.
But it's a very well-known curry.
Isn't that like
curry.
One of the most basic ones?
I've never heard of it before.
Maybe it could easily be an anglicised curry and not an actual
Absolutely
like,
is,
Indian curry.
Probably. But I still think, because we've spoken about it, you love curry so much, I thought you would have at least heard of it.
No, I just literally never.
I mean, I'm sure you don't have chicken tikka masala in your house, but you've heard of it, right?
Yes. Well, that's like, I feel like that's way more standard than chicken balti. I've not heard of it before.
Oh my goodness.
You heard of a korma?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's like a similar level to that.
Yeah. Okay.
Jalfrezi, that sort of vibe.
Yeah.
God.
There was a lot of mad flavors of crisps here, by the way.
Oh.
There was a yo katsu curry flavor, Walker's crisp at one point.
Okatsu. There must be a. I don't know.
Scottish haggis flavor of Walker's, apparently, at one point.
Haggis is nice.
IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com if you've got any good footballer Walker's crisp flavors for us. Current day. I'm talking current day because we're trying to launch this now.
Yeah.
I don't want any players from the 90s. They have to be playing now professionally, ideally to a good standard.
Well, they have to be in. I feel they have to be in the England team.
Yeah, the England squad. Yeah. Around that, you know, could have a realistic chance of making the 26 in the summer. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com.
One last flavour for you. Ranch raccoon.
What?
There is a Walker's flavour called ranch raccoon.
What? Is that just ranch? Or what's the raccoon?
I don't know. It's just a list of flavors. Let's have a look.
Raccoon.
Unveiled in 2014.
It does. It just says ranch raccoon. Flavor with sour cream from Dorset.
Ooh, well, there we go. Well, that's my segue into... That's my segue ruined.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hello, my name is Alison Larkin, and I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of the Jane Austen podcast. This podcast brings Jane Austen's stories to the 21st century, along with commentary from me and conversations with fascinating people who all share a love of Jane Austen. And of course, we had to start with none other than Pride and Prejudice. So join me as we embark on a journey through some of the most wonderful stories I know. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
As we have been for the last couple of weeks, we have been asking for new endless search themes, and we've got another one this week. This one comes in from Andy B, who says, "Dear IGN UK IGN crew, please find Attach My Attempt, an endless search theme tune. I was reluctant to send this after hearing Friday's episode, as Mr. Marsden's AI submission was far superior to mine. However, I am a real boy, and therefore am unlikely to enslave slash destroy the human race at any point in the future." I like how he says unlikely.
Unlikely, yeah. You never know.
Yeah. Thanks for all your hard work producing the best gaming podcast around. Not my words, the words of Andy B. It says fear this E. So, you can respect and fear it. I'll allow it.
I have a certain level of fear of the C.
Do you know why I do have a fear of hearing this theme tune too many times? Because it's something. We'll let people hear it for themselves. How about that? Here is Andy B's submission for the Endless Search.
Make it. Send it in. If we like it, we'll play it. Make it. Send it in. If we like it, we'll play it.
The Endless Search theme tune. The Endless Search theme tune.
It's the Endless Search.
Wow, what do we think of that then?
I quite enjoy it.
I don't like hearing. I like, normally don't mind hearing my own voice back.
It took you like three listens to realise it was your own voice.
Because it's not my VO voice, I guess. But like normally I don't mind listening to my own voice, but then, on this particular occasion it really chilled me. I don't know, I was into it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm always for human-made art, if we want to call it that, over AI. So always appreciate it. Keep the submissions coming in. We'll play new ones for as long as we get them. But I don't think I've discovered anything yet that has overtaken the actual end.
No, and we're still waiting on the Code Marla remixes.
We are very much excited for those. No, we're not trying to rush you at all there, CJ, but we are looking forward to those. Speaking of the Endless Search, let's play one. I've got one for you, boys. Simple game, won't take long, but should be a good little bit of fun. We're going to play the Metacritic game.
Oh, lovely.
So you're going to compete against each other here on five different subjects that I've got. And it's basically whoever can, from each of these topics, give me the highest or lowest rated Metacritic score for these games or films, depending on what I'm going to ask you. Ooh. If I didn't explain it well all there, you'll soon realise.
You'll work it out.
Exactly. I'm going to say, Dale, you get to go first. There's five of these. You get to go first on this first one. I don't know why.
It's older, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Yeah.
next week, these aren't all themed, by the way, these questions. Next week, though, big Spider-Man game coming out.
Ooh.
I want you to face off against each other here on give me the highest rated superhero game on Metacritic.
Okay, and I'm first, so I'm going to say Batman Arkham City.
Arkham City. Let me find that. I will Yep, okay, I found the right version. Because there's a different... I assume you want the core version, not the Armored Edition on Wii U.
I wanted the Armored Edition on Wii U. yes, the core one, please.
Okay. Jesse, what you got going up against that?
Marvel Spider-Man, because I can't think of any other
It's a good shout, to be fair. Yeah. It was kind of universally loved, wasn't it?
So. It was bloody universally loved, wasn't it? Marvel's Spider-Man on PlayStation 4. Arkham City. And this seems like incredibly high, but it is a very good game. 94.
Wow, I've lost.
That is high.
That is really high as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's high. Well done, Dale. Marvel Spider-Man, 87. Still okay. Very high.
Nice.
But not.
Yeah,
not,
I know.
Not as
high.
Is there anything? Is there anything else that could possibly be higher? Probably not. Right?
There's no way.
I feel like we got the two Arkham. Highest ones.
Yeah.
To Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think Arkham Asylum's like a 92 or something.
What's Infamous? That's a sort of superhero kind of...
Oh, that'll be like 75.
I mean, there are a lot of people who didn't like Infamous. So Matt Perzo in particular does not like Infamous.
It's an 85, the first.
I thought that was universally loved.
No, I like them.
I never played it.
Yeah.
I mean, people generally like them, but yeah, they were never...
Mm.
But anyway, 1-0-2. Dale, the second one. We talked a little bit about horror there. This is quite a broad one. I just want you to fit the lowest rated 21st century horror film you can think of.
Okay.
So just any horror film from the last 23 years.
How broad are we being with the descriptor of horror? Like,
I'll be the judge of that. Okay. I'll look it up. If IMDb or Wikipedia say it's a horror film.
I've got one anyway. I've got two loaded in the cannon ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Go on, but Jesse, is you for you're good at knowing bad stuff.
Yes. So.
What are you thinking?
Alone in the Dark.
Oh.
Alone in the Dark.
Which I think is that, what's his name? Yui Boll.
Rarely spoken.
Yeah, shit. That's a good.
After it's going to be loads of. Somebody find the actual film and not the.
I'm thinking of two. Maybe I'm thinking too mainstream with it. You're the one who pulls things like that out of the bag.
Is that the 2005 one?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to go for Spiral, starring Chris Rock in the Saw franchise.
That's
one of the worst ones I've seen.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Spiral. So I've got that one up. Still at a 59.
What?
On Metacritic.
That film is dog shit. It needs to be lower than that.
I'm certain Alone in the Dark is at least under 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alone in the Dark is a 9.
Oh my goodness. Well played, Jesse.
A 9 out of 100.
It truly is your special skill, isn't it?
It was that, or I think House of the Dead, which I think he also directed. Yeah. Maybe.
I'd be surprised. 1-1 after 2.
Nice.
Third, and I know you hate. You mentioned hating the word earlier, Dale. I want the highest rated Souls-like game not made by From Software.
The highest rated?
That Souls-like that has not been made by From Software.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Do you get to go first?
Yeah, the first one. I don't play these games, so it's. I think the first one that came to mind is actually made by them, so I'm going to skip over that. Oh, what was that fucking game called?
There's a game on my head as well. I can't fucking remember, and I know.
Oh, Neo. Is that that's a Souls-like?
Yeah.
Fuck. Neo was in my head, and I could not get the word Neo out of my head.
Oh, what's it called?
And I'm right. Sekiro is made by FromSoft, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Blasphemous 2. Which I think is recently released.
Blasphemous 2. Is that Souls-like? Oh my god, mad.
I'll say some Metroidvania Souls-like.
I'll lay off.
Okay, thank you.
Blasphemous 2 is an 84.
That's decent.
I think Dale's got this.
Neo is an 88.
Hey! Okay.
2-1 at Dale. I 88, that's high. I don't know what could have beaten that. Maybe.
Well, my first thought was that was one of the first Souls likes to come out, like the first one that sort of became popular. And then now there's millions of them. But
my choice would have been Hollow Knight, but that was 87.
Yeah.
There you go. Wouldn't have won anyway.
You wouldn't have won.
2-1 to Dale with 2 left to go. Last week, talked a load about Assassin's Creed Mirage and how it's, you know, decent, but not the best, not the worst of Assassin's Creed. What do you think, though, is the lowest rated Assassin's Creed game?
Ooh.
Jesse gets to go first.
Fuck.
This is tricky.
Which one?
It has to be like one of the spin-offs, but because I've not played...
Can we rule them out? Can we just talk about the main
ones? Assassin's Creed games.
Wow, you're trying to fuck me up.
No, because you could like... Assassin's Creed there's game? Loads of like mobile games and stuff as well. And like, and
okay,
was...
no, none of the mobile ones. Yeah. But yeah.
Core.
Assassin's Creed Unity.
That's a good... Ooh. It is a good shout because...
it's a good game, what it launched when it was like. Reviewed. Yeah.
Ah, fuck. That's what I was kind of thinking.
Just remember the bugs.
I'm gonna go with Rogue.
Ooh. What's Rogue?
That was the one that was like a prequel to 4. Was it a prequel to 4? A prequel to 3?
It was a spin-off of 3. Yeah.
Oh, you've probably got that then.
Well, no, I think it was like people quite liked it.
Turns out, Assassin's Creed Unity is a 72.
Ooh. Rogue's got it.
Assassin's Creed Rogue. It's a 72. Oh. I'm going to need backup answers. We're going around again.
Okay.
This time, though, it's whoever shouts, you get to. There's no turns. If you got one, say it.
Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation.
Oh, that's a good one.
Which is like the Rogue equivalent.
Yeah.
I got those the wrong way around.
There's a bunch of PSP ones, weren't there? Jesus, what are they called?
But weren't those?
Yeah, because Liberation's Vita, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's a good shout. I don't think I can beat that.
Well, there's some games that I don't know if they released on mobile first and then were like on other things.
I want to say there was one called something along the lines of like Bloodlines or something.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. Castlevania. Isn't that round with 2?
Yeah.
That was a PSP one.
Yeah.
Okay. Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation for PlayStation Vita, a 70.
Oh,
still was going to win this one if it's PSP. It's
Assassin's Creed Bloodlines for PSP, a 63.
Yay. Okay.
Dale takes
pulled
it
out of the bag at the last second.
It means Dale has taken the game 3-1, but there is one more to play for to save some face, Jesse. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't lose 4-1, okay?
Jesus.
Don't embarrass yourself like your mum embarrassed herself in Nando's going up to David Beckham.
She has a picture that she loves.
To be fair, I'd love that
framed
picture too. Yeah. Not the picture of your mum with David Beckham. I'd love a picture with David Beckham. Although if you have got that picture,
yeah, I would like to see that picture.
Great thumbnail that would be.
Have you got the picture? Did she put it on Facebook or something?
No, yeah, it'll be in some old phone.
Oh, okay. Jeez, I'll just put David Beckham on the thumbnail. Last week we had Spice Girls. This week we had Beckham. We've gone full in on this. Yeah. Anyway, last question. Completely unrelated to anything. I'll just put this one in.
Okay.
Just the highest rated Japanese film you can think of.
Oh, my God.
Who's going first?
Got 100 years of Japanese films at least.
Okay. What is that one actually called? Seven Samurai.
Good film, that. Yeah. Fuck.
Jesse's really struggling. I can see his eyes. And you can't say one of the animated Resident Evil movies, mate.
That would instantly make me lose. What are you talking about?
Definitely better than Seven Samurai.
Akira.
Oh.
Decent shout. Decent shout.
Yeah, it's a good shout.
Cool. Sorry, I'm just going to tell you my surprise there. Akira, a 67.
What?
On Metacritic. Okay. Yeah. You weren't going to win. Seven Samurai, 98.
Ooh, hello.
Bullshit. How is that rated so low?
I thought you were going to say, how is that rated so high? I was like,
it's a great film.
Yeah, 67 does seem a little low for a good film. There we go.
Some films aren't appreciated in their time, Jesse.
You did embarrass yourself. 4-1 to Dale. Well, not complete. 5-0 would have been embarrassment. You were just, we'll call it a trouncing. How about that? As always, IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com for your endless search themes and games. And just, you know, any sort of feedback, especially those crisp footballers. We want those. But
we've
also been talking a lot about demo discs, haven't we, Dale?
We have. This is from Stephen Gellan, and the subject is video game demo disc vibe check.
Oh, he says, you love the vibe check.
Yeah, it's the dial.
Always send in a vibe check. On the topic of iconic video game demos from the past, I wanted to shout out a particular demo that I have a whole lot of love for. That's right, the iconic PC demo for Halo Combat Evolved. Not only does this demo immediately drop you straight into the Silent Cartographer, arguably the best level in the entire franchise, but it also ends with you getting screamed at by Sergeant Johnson to try and convince you to buy the game while a bizarrely upbeat jingle plays in the background. Does it fit the tone of the game? No. Is it hilarious? Absolutely. After getting the demo disc from a game magazine, I distinctly remember playing the demo for weeks on my parents' old computer as a kid. And eventually even convinced him to buy it for me using the argument, it's not even violent because you're only killing aliens. Halo Combat Evolved then became the first shooter game I was allowed to own in the house. And it's still maybe my favourite game to date. If you haven't checked the franchise out yet, the demo is a fantastic place to start. Respect the sea, Stephen.
Mm.
Have you seen this advert before? It is very funny.
No, I've never heard of it.
It's the end of a demo. It plays like a TV advert. So it's like the sergeant just speaking down the camera and being, and this music plays like, we've got RPGs. We've got, it's like a Toy Story advert.
Oh my God.
It is really fun.
No, and I didn't even know anything about this whatsoever. So yeah, this is interesting.
It's a good way to do a demo, I think. Mm. Yeah, loads of demos. You got any good demo stories, Jesse? You like a demo? You love a demo, don't you? Look at your face. He loves a demo. Little grin on his face. Tell us all about the demos.
Let's just move on.
You like a Resi. You like a Resi demo, don't you, mate? They still
do. Explain that though. I can't mention that every time we talk about demo.
Talk about Resident Evil, but no one knows what you think about Resident Evil.
Cool. Yeah, that's true.
Why don't you just read an email out? How about that?
I will.
It's the Crumpster.
it's from Tom Crump. He says, good afternoon, London. It's Tom Crump, the hot donut man. Yeah, just to chime in, Big Ben, you lot get it, on the demo disc chat.
Have some enthusiasm. Say this with the panache it was written.
No, because then now it can be turned into a tune, and I don't want that happening. had many in my time, but one that stuck out had many in my time, but one that stuck out had the... Does that say Heady?
Heady.
Yeah.
I'm having a mad one today. And it was definitely dodgy off the market mix of Spyro, Tekken 2, Ridge Racer, Metal Gear Solid. But who wants to play them when you can play the real star of the show, Bob the Builder? Can we fix it? It's like choosing between Beethoven's 5th and Mambo number 5. And we all know which one of those is the good one.
Yeah.
Oh God, made it a full-time.
That's the end of the song. That's the music for the end of the show. About a little bit of Monica in my life.
I thought you were saying Beethoven's 5th.
No, fuck that. The good one.
You can just mix both.
I'm not putting the effort.
Tom says he made it a full-time job on the work site. Any chance I could get hard hats on, please, lads? Scoop and muck. Tried to unionize, but I was a child of action and capitalism. They had to go. Income dizzy and spud. This is a stupid piece of feedback. they don't complain about
Wait, are these characters from Bob the Builder? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, right. I don't know Bob the Builder very well. So Scoop and Muck sounds like a hot new rap sensation.
They do sound like a Garrett, like Skip and Drench. Oxide Neutrino.
But yeah.
Scoop and Muck.
Drencher. No,
he goes on to say, they know there's work to be done, money to be made, and 17 to 19 hour days are accepted in this industry. Jesus. Lost myself there for a minute. The game was objectively awful. But when one is asked, can we fix it? There is only one answer Bob will accept. His vacant, shark-like eyes staring back from the void. Yes, we can.
I feel like you played this game, Jesse. You seem like someone who was big into Bob the Builder.
Yeah, you were the right age range to be into Bob the Builder.
I don't think I like Bob the Builder. I think I was watching way more like Power Rangers and shit. Oh. Sorry, guys.
I think you're cool, do you?
Sorry.
That's too good for Bob the Builder.
Have you seen what Bob the Builder looks like
did
now?
Did he have a Christmas number one, or did he almost have a Christmas number
one? Wait, are you talking about... Yeah, he had a Christmas number one. Are you talking about Neil Morrissey or the actual character of Bob the Builder?
You see
what he looks like now? Old as fuck.
Let me see what Bob the Builder looks like now.
I just think he looks...
Oh, fun. No, I don't like that. Oh, no.
Has he had a redesign, has he?
Yeah,
they've made him look more like an actual
way
human.
Too human.
Oh, no.
Gee, I didn't remember anything that bad. Can we put
that's all wrong.
That is the face of sentient AI that will kill us all if I've ever seen it. Oh my
God. What was wrong with...
How about as a front
row? With David Beckham behind.
David Beckham's face.
Oh, God.
Why are all his like vehicles now sentient as well? What's going on?
Well, they have eyes.
Well, I just looked at a picture and all it looks like cars behind him with all the.
Oh, they
all
always
eyes.
Had eyes. Oh, yeah, like they? Scoop and Muck. Okay. They were the like the names of the Scoop and the. Like
there was had a chat with him.
Oh. I don't know. Yeah. I was
insane?
Slightly too old for Bob the Builder, so I don't know too much. But yeah, tell us all about Bob the Builder, Jesse. What's your favourite episode?
I didn't fucking watch it.
No, tell us what your favourite episode was. What was the best thing you built?
I love episode 4 from season 3.
Don't feel the pressure, Jesse. It's fine.
I want to see episode 4, season 3. What does he actually get up to?
I don't know. Why don't you tell us?
Bob, Wendy, and the machines are spending the day doing jobs to make the town a nicer place to live. Lofty has a magnet attached to his crane so that he can pull up the pieces of track off the railway line. This show sounds fucking
sounds a good
boring.
One.
Yeah, that does sound one, really dull, doesn't it? No drama whatsoever. Yeah.
As a huge Thomas the Tank Engine kid, that sounds banging to me. Anyway, I've got an email from Adam Bull, who says, "Hello, IGN UK crew. Your chat last week about Assassin's Creed Mirage feeling all too similar to the original Assassin's Creed game reminded me how disappointed I was with the first game when it came out. Mm-hmm. There was so much hype for it at the time, but it felt so half-baked in terms of variety and gameplay options that I was thoroughly disappointed. Can you remember the first time you were properly excited for as a kid? The first game you were properly excited for as a kid that you remember being a real disappointment when you finally got your hands on it? Secondly, the Endless Search theme is an icon of the podcast. Generally, I shocked my ears the first time I heard it a couple of years back when I started listening to the show, but it must remain. P.S. Emerald Weapon from Final Fantasy VII gave me a fairly intense fear of the sea as a kid, so it must definitely be respected at all costs."
I can relate, mate. I can relate.
Can you remember the first time you were thoroughly disappointed in life?
In life?
No, by a game. probably David Beckham in 98.
I remember I wasn't disappointed with the game, but I remember being disappointed. So this is going really far back. But when I was waiting for the WWF Attitude game to come out, and all I had to go on was a release date in a magazine. And clearly that release date had changed. And I got the bus all the way into town on the day that I thought WWF Attitude was coming out, went into game. Went there with my money in hand and was like, "I'm ready to buy WWF Attitude." And he's like, "Oh, that doesn't come out till 2 weeks." And I remember just the worst ride home, like just most depressed ride I'd ever had. I just wanted to play a Stone Cold Steve Austin so much.
Damn.
God, do you remember how bad the Simpsons wrestling game was?
I never played that.
And the skateboarding game, that was...
I have a Simpsons related one. It's more that I never had a PS... What was this game on? Okay, so for a long time, for the first 2 or 3 years of the PS2, I didn't have one.
Right.
And so I did have a GBA at the time, though. Ooh. And I really wanted to play Simpsons Road Rage. And on PS1, or PS2 even, it looked amazing. I played it at a friend's house and it was great. So I got the GBA version. That was like when I was young enough to not really know. Yeah. I must have been like 10, something like that. Not really know that game would be so different on a GBA. Like, I thought, oh, I'd be able to play on GBA, and it's just not as good. It's not the same game, essentially. No. So you're just like, and I slowly learn, the GBA games of all these great PS2 games are not the same games. Yeah. So, that's one.
Jesse, have you got another? I've just thought of another one, if you've got one.
First, honestly, just like what Adam said, like I remember my brother buying a copy of Assassin's Creed, and I remember watching at least like some little bits of gameplay and thinking, oh my God, it's like next gen, like sword fighting and knights and crusade shit. And then you've got fucking a bloke called Desmond and some bullshit animus.
Wow.
Shit. I actually like that stuff.
I fucking hated that.
I hated that stuff. But also, I don't know if you remember, but around the time, they kept it very close to the chest. Like, no one knew about that future stuff until, from what I remember, it was like a couple of weeks before it came out and it leaked. And it kind of just like really ruined the surprise of it a little bit. Everyone just thought it was just set in the Crusades and that was it. Like, there was no future stuff.
I mean, if we want to go very recent, Starfield, I thought that'd be
my
dream game.
That's a good shout, yeah. Everyone was talking about that start of year, that would be a Game of the Year contender potentially.
Definitely not.
Look at it now, yeah.
pathetic.
Was it Metal Gear Solid 4 for me? I remember being on holiday and all I wanted to do was come home off holiday and play Metal Gear Solid 4 because I knew it was there waiting for me at home. And when I got there, I just remember sitting through hours and hours of cutscene and just being so disappointed that there was no game in this game. Mm-hmm. It was just a movie.
Enter the Matrix. I thought it'd be amazing. I didn't really like it. I quite liked Path of Neo.
I remember that being fun as a kid to play through, to be honest.
I liked Path of Neo. I just didn't like Enter the Matrix.
Mm. I think MGS5 for me, actually.
So yeah, me and you have opposite feelings on Metal Gear Solid, don't we? Because you like 4 and I like 5, and yeah.
I think they're both fine, but for me 5 was just like, it felt like it just ended. There wasn't like an actual conclusion to it, and that just knowing that like we're not going to get a new MGS, like
I never found the story that interesting in 5 though. For me 5 was the gameplay that I was missing badly in 4. Mm. It was this pure like sandbox open world, can take on any base in any way you fancy. So it was just like endlessly fun. But yeah, the story was whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, good episode.
Mm-hmm. Very rambly, drunk but not drunk episode.
Oh yeah. Good David Beckham stuff though. Fantastic. I think my actual go-to Nando sauce is the medium of garlic one.
Oh, I'm a hot.
I like to think. Oh yeah. I like the medium of garlic. That's a little bit of added. I don't know, je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always get the garlic bread there, but it's always disappointing. I don't think I've ever had garlic bread
in Nando's.
I always get it, but I'm just like, why do I get this? Because it's not actually good garlic bread.
I was going to say, I've always found Nando's to be fairly disappointing in terms of chicken.
Oh, it's absolutely fine. Yeah. If it's there, you know, if you need to.
It's a nice, cheap, half decent meal. You know, like when you don't want to spend a fortune, you want to spend a small moment, but you want a nice little restaurant experience.
You know exactly what you're going to get. It's the step up from fast food, isn't it? It's just that one ring above that you don't feel like shit for eating it.
That's fair.
Exactly.
Right. Good stuff. IGN underscore UK. Oh, God. I've said it enough times.
IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com.
God. Next week we're talking all about Spider-Man.
Tell us what you think about season 3 episode 4 of Bob the Builder after you've watched it.
Yeah, everyone watch that.
It's all on YouTube and it's only 10 minutes long.
Yep, we'd love thoughts on that. Lovely. We have a Mambo number 5.
Yes, please.
And Beethoven.
No, Beethoven.
Just play it at once, it's fine.
Ding, ding.
I'm not playing
ding,
it ding, all ding, together. Okay,
one,
here's Mambo.
2, 3, 4, 5.
Everybody in the car, so come on, let's ride to the liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna be a buzz like I had last week. I must stay deep, cause talk is cheap. I like Angela, Pamela, Sandra, and Rita. And as I continue, you know they're getting sweeter. So what can I do? I really bag you, my lord. To me, flirting is just like a sport. Anything fly, it's all good. Let me jump in, please send in the trumpet. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.